Good morning. If you have your Bibles, today's reading is from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through to 13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. May God today bless to us our reading.
Morning. Every morning, a few people here pray in the prayer chapel at the back there. What for? We have prayer times on Saturday morning and on Tuesday afternoon. Why do we think it's worthwhile to use precious time praying? Every week in the Northern News, we fill up a column with prayer points. We send prayer points out by email. We pray in church every Sunday morning. On our Facebook page every morning, there's a suggestion of something to pray for. Most of the groups that meet here during the week have at least one prayer as part of their program. Many of us pray every morning before we start work, or we pray at night before we go to bed, or both. We pray when we get into difficulties. We pray for people who are sick. Why? Does it make a difference? Why don't we just leave it all to God to decide what to do? How long should we pray for? Do we get better results if we pray longer? Are there rules for getting what you want from God? I've seen a few books with a few rules in like that. When we don't get what we want, does it mean that we have no faith? Prayer is one of the Christian's greatest sources of power, and it's one of our greatest sources of frustration. So what is prayer? Well, simply put, prayer is conversing with God. But there are thousands of definitions of prayer, thousands of clever sayings about prayer. Here are just a few. Prayer is the key to the morning and the bolt of the evening. Anonymous. A day hemmed in prayer is less likely to unravel. Also anonymous. Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth. That was Robert Law. Prayer bathes the soul in an atmosphere of the divine presence. Charles Finney. Daniel would rather spend a night with the lions than miss a day in prayer. Anonymous. God does nothing but in answer to prayer. John Wesley. Hundreds of books have been written to describe prayer, to teach us ways to pray, and to talk about ways of getting prayer answered. But Jesus taught us about prayer. He didn't bother defining it for us, but he modelled it. And he told us how to do it. He told us that we're not to do it to receive praise from people. When we get praise, we've already received our reward. He said we're to pray in the unseen places, not just in public to be seen by people. It's not the length of our prayers that will cause us to be heard. We're not heard because we're eloquent. We're heard because our Heavenly Father loves us. Our Father knows our needs. We don't even have to explain them all to him. And Jesus taught us what to pray. And we've already heard it in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. The prayer is, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So, Prayer begins as we focus on our Father, God. We come as children to our Father in heaven, who loves us. We come not as individuals who are alone, but as members of a huge family, God's family. At the beginning, I said that prayer is conversing with God. That's a simple statement for an awesome event. We, the created beings, millions of us, billions of us, can come to the mighty creator of the universe. And not only can we come, but Jesus shows us that we can come to him as beloved children, not as obsequious slaves. Awesome. Let's not take it for granted. And in the presence of our Father, we begin our prayer. Jesus shows us that we don't immediately rush in and give him our personal request. The first three requests in this prayer that he gave us are about God and his glory. The next three are about our needs. Prayer's not like going to the supermarket with a list of what we want. So, the first request is that God's name will be hallowed. What does that mean? When we say to others, "Steve has a good name," we're not actually referring to his name, are we? We're saying that the person called Steve has a good character and is honoured and respected. So asking that God's name will be hallowed means that we want his name, that is, his character and his reputation, to be first in the world and in people's lives. That's what we're asking for here, that God's name will be honoured and respected by us and in the world. And as well as a request, this phrase is actually an act of worship. We recognise that the God to whom we pray is not just like us. He's infinitely great. We are honoured and privileged to be able to come to him as our Father, and we lift up his name. Our second request is your kingdom come. We're asking for God to be the ruler over those who at present are not responding to him, who are doing their own thing. We're asking for the good news to be taken all over the world. We're praying for our missionaries. We're praying for those who are witnessing for the Lord in their everyday workplace, in their home or in their school. We're asking that God's love, God's peace, God's grace will be seen in the world through the lives of God's people, and particularly in us who are praying this prayer. We're praying for peace on earth, just as Sam has led us to consider in our worship time this morning. Thirdly, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we, the disciples of Jesus in this age, let God have his way in our lives. May we be unselfish. May we be obedient to those in authority over us. May we hold out hope to people. May we stand up for those who are being oppressed. May our words and actions be constantly glorifying our God. May we share the blessings we have with those who have no blessings or have not the blessings that we have. May we become like Jesus, who consistently did God's will. And after these three prayers that are about asking for God's glory, Jesus goes on to teach us how to pray for ourselves. Give us today our daily bread. We're not to try to peer into the future. We're simply to trust God for today. We ask him to meet all the needs of this day. And tomorrow, we'll pray for the needs of tomorrow. And the day after and the day after. That God will still be there to meet all our needs. What did Jesus tell us? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? This is walking by faith. If we pray this prayer with simple trust in God, we won't be afraid. And next, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Jesus spells this out for us after the prayer when he says in Matthew 6 and verse 14, "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you don't forgive men, men meaning people, their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." These words seem harsh, don't they? And they seem to contradict the fact that our forgiveness is assured by the cross. Perhaps the easiest way, or one easy way to understand it, is to realise that our unforgiveness of another person is actually a form of rebellion against God, who's given us no options about the need to forgive those who wrong us. In fact, when we say things like, "I know God says I should forgive, but I don't want to," or "It's just too much to ask, I can't forgive that," our unforgiveness of another person means that we're not repenting of our sin of unforgiveness. To receive the forgiveness of sin that's already been paid for on the cross, we need to repent of our sin. Repentance means turning away from that sin. Refusing to forgive means I'm unrepentant. In the Rao language of Papua New Guinea, the word repent is translated, change your thinking. We need to change from a hard attitude to the person who has wronged us to forgiveness that comes from the heart. I know when I haven't properly forgiven someone, when my voice changes when I talk about them, or when I can't look at them when they walk past me. How about you? Are you asking God to forgive your sins while remaining unforgiving of someone else's sins towards you? Forgiving means I'm handing that person over to God for him to deal with. I'm not trying to make them pay. We're forgiven by the grace of God, and let's forgive others by his grace. How can we request the blessing of God's forgiveness when we refuse to give that forgiveness to another person? And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We plead for the Father's help so that we can resist evil. The word in Greek here can be translated as either evil or the evil one. Whichever one we choose, the prayer is vital for us all. How can we live the life we want to live with God unless he gives us strength and protection from evil? When Jesus prayed this prayer, it wasn't a long time since he'd been tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He knew the strength of evil. He knew that alone we can't win, but that with God helping us, we can be victors. And as we face temptations, we can call on him and defeat evil without fear and without regret. Much later, after this prayer, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus told the disciples to watch and pray so that they wouldn't enter into temptation. It's a prayer that repeats this prayer that Jesus already had taught. Before Peter denied Jesus, he was sure of his own strength and commitment, but he failed. We need to pray constantly that God will give us strength so that we will never deny our Lord by the way we live or the things that we say. We call this prayer that Jesus taught the Lord's Prayer. Six requests covering six things: God's name hallowed, his kingdom come, his will done, our needs provided, our sins forgiven, our temptations overcome. Simple but deep prayer. When you want to pray, use this prayer of Jesus to help you. And don't say that you have no time to pray. These six requests are powerful and far-reaching, but they don't need lots of time to pray them. If you pray this prayer often, meaningfully, what a difference it would make in your life and in the life of our church and in our community. At the beginning of this talk, I asked the question, why pray if God knows the answers anyway? Why take the time? Does it make any difference? Well, to me, the simple answer is Jesus thought it was important to pray. As you look through the New Testament, you'll see him praying on many occasions. We see him heading off into the lonely places to pray, especially before major decisions or major things were about to happen in his life. Jesus was God, yet he still spent time talking to his Father. Even when Jesus was facing a crisis, he prayed with thanksgiving. When he needed food for 5,000, he took 5 loaves and 2 fish and gave thanks for them. And in his hands, they became food for 5,000. He prayed for others. He prayed for life to be restored at the graveside of Lazarus. Why? So that God's name would be glorified. And Jesus prayed for his disciples and for we disciples of later ages. He prayed that we would be one with him and with each other. He prayed that others would know that we're Christians. How? By our love. He prayed when he knew that the time for his death was near. He even prayed that it wouldn't happen. He struggled in prayer. Sweat ran down, the Bible tells us, like drops of blood. But in the end he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done." And Jesus told us to pray for those who persecute us. He said, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Do you love your enemies? Not easy, is it? But Jesus is praying for us to do that. And he told us to pray for workers for the harvest. He said, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest field. And Jesus also told us that we need to agree together on things to pray about. Can I remind you just how amazing it is to pray together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and to know that God is there, that he's hearing your prayers and he's answering them. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus said, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there I am with them. If you can't make the prayer times that we already have here in the church, then find a prayer partner and pray regularly with them. Jesus told us we need faith in our prayers. He told the disciples off for not believing. But it wasn't just a belief that God will do whatever we want. The context tells us that Jesus is talking about praying in conjunction with our service for him and in conjunction with our close walk with him. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. But Jesus showed us that prayer is not demanding from God what we want. Prayer is done in relationship with him. Prayer is the recognition that apart from God, nothing that we do has any eternal significance. Prayer is a human being acknowledging that we need to depend on God, that ultimately he's the source of everything that we need. Everything that we are and everything that we hope for. Jesus said in John 15, verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I'd like us to pray the Lord's Prayer together, but because I know that there's several different translations around and everybody has a different version, it's up there. Let's do that one. And we'll pray it together. And as you pray, think about what you're praying. Don't just rattle it off like we sometimes do, but pray it remembering some of those things that we've thought about this morning. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. And prayer is all about God's glory. So we're going to conclude by singing a song that gives God the glory. And I just pray that